Good evening, listeners, and welcome to this episode of Effingham Talks, our first episode of the year. As always, we are broadcasting from the lovely Stillwell Pines event venue in Springfield, Georgia. If you are looking for a venue for your next event, you can find them on the web at www.stillwellpines.com, on Facebook at Stillwell Pines Event Venue, or give them a call at 912-665-2631 for a personal tour of the grounds. On today's episode, we have Rosie Harrison, CEO and founder of Grow It Initiative of Georgia, Mickey Parker, owner of Parker Media and Fat Bass, Regina Klontz, the Mars Theater manager, and later in the episode, we will be joined by Dean Sams, a founding member of the acclaimed country band Lone Star. We also have in the studio today our good friend and fill-in host, Mr. Andy Hudson. And today's snacks are provided by our new sponsor, Old Whiskey Nuts. They have a unique creation of combining pecans and fine spirits. Today's flavors are Nutter Fluffer and Effingham Talks flavor, which will soon be available for purchase on their website, oldwhiskeynuts.com. Also, they have created a Lone Star flavor called Amazed, exclusively being sold at the Mars Theater for the concert series in Springfield. Now that we have got the bills paid, let's hear Effingham talk.
Rosie Harrison, CEO of Grow Initiative Georgia. Thank you so much for coming on today. You know, I sat out there and talked to you for a little bit, and you just pounded a lot of information into me. So I want you to kind of give the listeners today what's in your head and what your purpose in life with this Grow Initiative.
Sure thing. Thank you. And thank you for having me. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. It's so exciting to see so many people from Effingham in the same place. Love it. Tommy, we went back to the Navigator, so that is always good to see someone that coming back home. So Grow Initiative Georgia is the product of over 15 years worth of being a family advocate for individuals with disabilities. So my youngest, who is now turning 17 on Tuesday, praise the Lord, is turning 17, and he was diagnosed with autism when he was 2.5. And like every parent, it's like we get a diagnosis, and then what? Not everyone is as blessed and fortunate as I was to be able to go back to school and get a whole degree in all of this and figure out how to provide those services and supports. And I think everyone knows Pauline Shaw, mm-hmm. and she is absolutely amazing.
Who's that?
Right? Listen, that woman was my mentor, uh-huh. and she's a huge mentor and a huge friend of mine. I sat on the board for the Effingham County Navigators, but we started off in a moment where, you know, my oldest was going through some things, and Effingham County, love Effingham. Like, I've been in Effingham for the past 11 years, but we just have a lot more residents than we have support sometimes. Mm-hmm. And in recognizing that, we brought in Grow. Grow specializes in providing access to anything and everything that a family needs to survive. That's education, that's health and nutrition, community development. In the past year, we have been very blessed to be able to secure some grant funding and some contracts that allow us to provide access and education to Effingham County and surrounding counties. We have free English classes coming up on Mondays at the United Way building, thanks to our partnership with Two Rivers Health Clinic. We will be doing health education and nutrition education every single month between now and the end of the year. Everything, of course, is free of charge. Then we will also be providing additional services and workshops for individuals with disabilities and their families, because, you know, once you have a child that gets diagnosed, they're not going to stay young all the time, right? Like, they're going to grow up. And like Pauline always says, you don't want to graduate them from high school to the couch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the best that we do that is by providing that information and that access. It's all about equity. You know, when we think about equity, everyone seems to think that equity is the same thing as equality, and it's not the same thing. Equity means you get what you need so that you can have access. Equality means everybody gets the same thing. Mm-hmm. But if, for example, let's say that you have a broken knee and then you have a sprained wrist, but you have cancer, and I give the three of you a Tylenol, does that fix your problem?
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that means that we look at each individual family member in the family so that we can provide services to that individual, especially our individuals with disabilities and our elderly. I mean, there's just, I can go on and on about GROW, but I think we had a conversation that's really important, that's more about making sure that people have access to that health education. Starting in January, we have the cancer prevention, for cervical cancer prevention education, that is free of charge at Two Rivers. And that is going to be on the 31st of January, that Thursday. We just ask the people sign up. We provide that education every single month during Two Rivers Health Clinic hours. And one thing that we are very proud of is that we're linguistically inclusive, meaning that we recognize that Effingham County is growing, so our information is in both Spanish and English.
So, you know, we had talked outside a little bit, and you threw something at me and Andy, kind of, you know, something we'd never heard. You threw a term at us we'd never heard of, and you kind of laid in. I'd like you to address that with the users that are listening. This food desert that you were talking
about.
That's
true.
I want you to kind of tell us what that's all about.
Sure thing. So food desert is a term that is a lot more popular now, but we live in rural county. Like, we live in rural Georgia. We wouldn't think that because we have farmland that we actually have a food desert. Food desert means that there's a lack of access to fresh food that is nutrient dense, especially if you're low wealth. We don't really have a lot of ways to support our low-wealth families, especially our elderly. And I keep going back to our elderly. You know, we have a lot of canned food sometimes if they're having to supplement their nutrition through food pantries or through whatever churches and things like that, because they have to be shelf-stable. But we need to have access to fresh food. And food deserts, it's very difficult, especially if you are on limited income, especially if you're elderly, especially if you're an individual with a disability, because we don't have public transportation.
Right.
That's right.
Right? And because we don't have public transportation, we have a lack of access to getting things across. Another thing that I think it's also important for us to remember is that we have communities of, like, all of our schools, right? Like, all of our schools, we're all centered in the same area, but we still have students that are in Clio and Egypt. So these students need to have access to same thing, fresh food. One of the things that we're working very diligently on is on being able to provide access to fresh fruits and vegetables, whether by having the education in the community for people to grow their own garden, or by providing access to other growers and producers that we can then take that food into these communities. And individuals that are, for example, using SNAP benefits, there's a program that is very well known in Georgia that's called Wholesome Wave, the Fresh for Less program, where individuals are seniors or individuals with disabilities that have SNAP benefits or their food stamp card can get double the bang for their money. So in my idea, God willing, and hopefully this happens before the end of 2025, is to be able to facilitate an aggregation program so that our local Effingham farmers and our local Effingham growers, we're going to be able to secure access to that food, be able to take it into the rural areas. Individuals that are low income and that are participating in SNAP benefits can utilize those benefits, pay for that, and get the 2-for-1 deal. So that way we continue to stimulate the economy, continue to provide access, we continue to keep Effingham growing sustainably.
That's right. That's right. You know, something that is kind of close to me, I got some friends going through some stuff. Can you talk about the importance of heart health and what Effingham has accessible for that through your program?
We have Effingham Health System, which is fantastic. We have a couple different providers, but they're all at the same areas, which leaves us a lack of access. And when we talk about heart health, so I was misdiagnosed after COVID, and it's important when we think about education and about health access. So there really is not much, but we are looking to change that. And that's one of the reasons why we partnered up with United Way and with Two Rivers, so that in February we'll be able to provide education, cardiovascular health, that takes into consideration what you're predisposed to, what questions to ask, what you can, what should you, what is recommended for individuals. So in 2020, when I had COVID, you know, I was one of the ones that just had it rough. I had long haul COVID, so I was coughing for like 6 months. I was just diagnosed with 3 regurgitating valves and with post-COVID syndrome that affected my heart and my lungs after going to a cardiologist locally. Wow. And being told, just lose 40 pounds and put some salt in your water.
Oh, my goodness.
That's... And that's the thing. So now I go get seen at, in a Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And that's really another driving reason why with Grow Initiative Georgia, we focus so much on health and nutrition, because as a parent of a child with a disability, I don't have the luxury of dying right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I know that sounds a little...
No, you're right.
But it's I just don't have that luxury, that's, you know? Right. So I have to be at the best health that I can possibly be, and I got to make sure that my community is in the best health that they can possibly be, because... We got people. We have elderly people that we got to take care of.
Yes.
We have our individuals with disabilities that I keep talking about that we have to take care of. We have children that we have to take care of. And women, believe it or not, women are often misdiagnosed and underdiagnosed with cardiovascular health problems. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that I know when we're looking to push that information into Effingham County and the surrounding areas, but it's called health equity and health justice. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because of women experiencing and men experiencing symptoms a certain way, we will not have the right questions to ask. And that's one of the reasons we want to really push that information. So on the last Thursday in February, we invite the entire community that is interested in health and nutrition, but specifically cardiovascular health, to come to Two Rivers Health Clinic during our cardiovascular health education. But in January, we'll also have the cervical cancer prevention education. Tidbit of knowledge. Did you know that in Effingham County, do you know what the leading cause of death is in Effingham County?
Stress.
Yes, but specifically, you know what it is?
Heart attack.
Heart attack.
Okay.
And you know what influences heart attacks?
Stress.
Stress and diabetes. Mm. Mm-hmm. Diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all of those things. We really don't take into account just what our eating habits look like. Mm-hmm. And then there's this stigma, right? Like, we have to give up food restriction. I don't know about y'all, if you guys ever tried going on a diet.
I have, several times.
Several times, right? Because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. But what if we told you that the best way that we're going to be able to help you is not so much taking food away, but adding things in? Like, wow. That is literally, I was 286 pounds. In 2021, I was 286 pounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was diabetic, and I say was, because I no longer have to go on metformin.
That's great.
Don't do all of that anymore. Yeah.
Did you do this with just a diet, or did you have an exercise routine?
Exercise.
Okay.
I hate it.
Same.
I mean, it's like, it's a thing. Yeah. But I also found out, and that's really how gardening came into play for me.
Okay.
Because do you know how much you have to work out when you have to carry those big old sacks of dirt?
You burn a lot of calories.
You do. And you really make muscles. I have little baby muscles now. Like,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm strong.
Good, good, good. Okay, I think everybody can get down with talking about a diet, I mean, especially me. I just got one more question for you before we move on. You talk about gardening and you educating people on how to do gardens. What is your favorite thing to grow?
Oh, man. So I absolutely love growing watermelon, but in the past 3 years, I have not been patient enough to let it grow to maturity. So they're always beautiful and gorgeous, and I trim them, I get them off, and then they're not ripe.
You gotta thump them.
I'm impatient. I have no patience.
Right, one of my favorite things to grow is peppers, and I try to grow different kinds of peppers. And sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. But Rosie, thank you so much for you coming on the show and you know, letting us know what Grow is all about and giving us some education about the health systems here in Effingham. I'm sure that's very valuable to people listening today. Okay, thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Mickey Lawrence Parker, the man, the myth, the legend.
Yes, he is.
You brought our Christmas parade to life. You added a lot of pizzazz and, you know, add a lot of videography. You gave a lot of justice to Mr. Andy Hudson here and Tommy.
You educated us too.
Yeah, and you did an awesome job. You know, when you know so the listeners know that that was streamed live to the assisted living and hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, that was very important to them. And for you to pull that off, the amount of time that you had to pull it off, that was critical. And you did an awesome job. And I know that the senior citizens and the individuals at the hospital loved you for that, even though they didn't get to meet you. But you did such a great job. I went back. I watched that video so many times. You know, the parade coming down, y'all commentating. Mickey did an excellent job. So, Mickey, I just want to hear what you got to say about Parker Media.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, whenever you first told me about it, you know, and it's going to be streamed in these certain places, I was pretty jazzed about it. But you asked me if I knew anything about live streaming, and I was like, yeah, I can do it. I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, I know nothing, but I do. But I know enough about all the technology and everything like that. So I said, you know, let me just go home and YouTube it for 30 minutes. And I was like, oh yeah, this is easy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah, you just need this, and then I have all the rest of the stuff, and we'll go in there, we'll set it up, and we'll do this, and. Honestly, it came out much better than I thought it was. I had a scare at the beginning that the cord was out whenever I got there and I got everything set up. And I was like, oh, my God, the main camera is not working. This thing is not connecting to it. Because they sent us the box that I want, but it was cracked. And already, like, the HDMI 1 did not work in it. Mm-hmm. And then so I'm like, oh, my God, now the second one goes out? Are you kidding me? So I had to switch it over to the third one. I was like, oh, it works. I had my mom and my wife drive up the cord or whatever, and as soon as it got there, it started working. I was like, okay, it's good. It's good. Get out of here. Let's get this thing rolling. And everything about it was great, except for you guys got something against football. Your whole thing, you get me on the worst football schedule ever. It's like the Georgia championship game, the NFL playoffs start, and it's like, hey, if there's a good, important football game, I already know I'm going to get a call from you guys, for sure. So, but other than that, it was great. I love what you guys are doing. I can't wait to do the parade next year. I know that it's going to be 10 times what it was this year. Mm-hmm. Like, the juices are flowing on that one. You guys did an excellent job of announcing everything, being the host.
Thank you.
It reminded me of, you seen Groundhog Day?
Mm-hmm.
The guys up there with Punxsutawney Phil. Dude, that's you guys. We got to go full Punxsutawney Phil next year. If we do that, seriously, it'll be, I mean, we can do that. It's easy. That's what small town's all about. I feel like, in the day and age that we live in now with movies, this is as close to like the old movies as you can get. You know, small town doing stuff like this. It's cool. And, leaving Hollywood and coming here is like amazing. That's what it's all. Although I would have left Hollywood by now anyways, because it's burning down.
Yeah. You wouldn't have had a choice.
Oh my God, dude, it's a mess out there.
Yes, it is. Sad situation.
I'm praying for my friends, man. They're I already know my fishing partner lost his house.
Oh man,
yeah, it's crazy. And he's a fireman. Mm. The irony of that.
Where was he at? What area?
Right above Selmar, which is. It's close to Pyramid Lake. So if you see like Santa Clarita and then it's like right up here, I think mm-hmm. it's like actually kind of where it's almost where it started. And I just saw today that, not to get off on the notes, but it was started by like one guy. But I sort of got roped into starting this like the Parker Media from like you guys because I kind of, you know, I want to come back here and start doing this for people because there's not a lot of people around here that do it, but
no, it's
like
not.
Also like do
you're
it
the well. Only one we could find
do it well. Well, thank you. I was your first choice. But it's fun. It's fun to work like this now and do all this. I mean, everything around here has so much character. Actually, the last film that I wrote. I actually wrote to be shot here because I know that this town has so much character, and but I wanted to show like the grittier side of it, mm-hmm. you know, which is not a lot of people see, but you guys are showing like the good side of it, which I love. I love all the positivity, mm-hmm. like the God man, me and you must have talked for 2 hours about spreading all the love in this community.
Yeah,
you
right.
know, the first time that we got on the phone together, and I was like, dude, I am all about it. I'm right. all about the love.
That's right.
And so doing that, and also I wanted to come back and open up a store because I've been designing clothes now for about 5 years.
Yeah, I bought a hat. I love my hat. I love that hat.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I got a koozie. I use it every day.
I appreciate it. And so we pretty lucky about this company and trying to grow it in the right way. We really make quality stuff. It's Fat Bass. If you haven't checked it out, you should. I want to get it into stores around or try to open up my own store if possible. But it's really, it's not a lot of stuff yet.
There's really good
stuff. Oh, it's super quality.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
That's the thing is, like, we're not a, like, there's other, like, I, not to get into all, like, how it's done, but, you know, if you want to go to, like, the quality places, it takes a lot in units to go to these places. And I waited 3 years. The factory that we get everything done makes, like, Ralph Lauren, Purple Label, mm-hmm. Psycho Bunny. Like, I mean, it's, like, top notch.
It is.
So it's literally my wardrobe because they're the best shirts I can find.
That's right. And all the reason I didn't get any shirts because I got to take Rosie's initiative and grow lists, and yeah. then I'll be able to order some of your shirts because I don't think you have any.
I think so. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about that. I think I wear our biggest shirt. I think we have a double X. You probably wear a double X. Maybe not. You're getting there.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
I'm actually probably an XL now. Amazingly enough, I'm losing weight down here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hey, I want to talk about your quality. That you know, your biggest quality is how you impact. This group, when we done the Navigator Parade, Tommy and I, we went to the Lakeview Manor. Mm-hmm. And those people were the leaders of our community when we were children. And they were so excited that you took up your time to impact them. You touched those people who carved a way for us. And if you wouldn't have been there, we wouldn't be able to make a profound difference in their lives. I went back and spoke with them. Thank you for that.
Oh, man, I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. I really love to give back just because I know that this is going to sound totally cliche, maybe to some people that don't know or they think that they have an idea, but living in certain places that I've lived in and seeing certain things that I've seen, like, it's I always try to look for the good or where I can help. So even whenever I was living in LA, I remember, we put on a tennis tournament that raised $387,000 for St. Jude's, you know, and we would go in there and still, like, read to the kids and stuff like that, or, you know, even doing just, like, smaller stuff to help out, you know, feeding people, like, here or there, and, you know, smaller projects. Like, I'm always, like, I'm down for that, but definitely coming back home and trying to help out is what it's all about. I mean, I'm a small business owner. You're a small business owner. Well, your business is much bigger than mine, but, you know.
Only by the grace of God and the impact of the people in my community when I was a little boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully we'll get there.
You will. You have a lot of talent.
I appreciate it. And then the past, so I guess I should tell this part of my story because this is, the other half of me is probably more interesting than me. But so in New York, whenever I made a movie, I met my wife. She ended up getting deported because she applied for an artist visa. She's a producer. She applied for an artist visa. Her father died. So without thinking, she just left and went back to the funeral. And she tried to come back in the country. They said, you're not supposed to leave the country. And she got kicked out for 5 years. So we met up. We ended up getting married. Then we said we were going to live in Canada because it was close, at least close enough to where I could drive to New York and work and then also drive back home. because I've made the trip from New York to here, I don't know how many times, it's countless. It almost seems short to me, as much as I drive. And so I was like, oh, yeah, we're cool with that. And then COVID happened, so we got locked into Canada for 2.5 years, because if I left her, she had nothing. So I had to stay in Canada for 2.5 years with her. And then luckily we got through that process because they closed all that thing down for like a while. She came here. She works with a company called Calebition that helps. It's a charity organization. It's run by, I forgot what church in South Korea, but they help people defect from North Korea and then help them out, you know, into society. And then she was a part of a movie. She produced a movie that won Sundance about it and went on to go to the British Oscars, was named in the list for the Oscars this year. And it's incredible. It's called Beyond Utopia. And it's out on every major platform right now, if you want to check it out. But you have to be in the mood to cry. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let you know.
Is it on Netflix?
It's, yeah. Okay. I think it's on Netflix. I know it's on Prime.
Oh, it is?
I think it's on Netflix. Honestly, I could be wrong about this. I don't want to speak out about it, but I guess I'm just going to say it anyways. I think that there was something between like Netflix and making China look bad, that there was something that not, yeah, whatever. Okay. I don't want to get shot by anybody. Yeah. But it's on like every, it's like Hulu, Amazon for sure. Like, and you go on there, it's like, it's on iTunes right now. It's one of the top documentaries in the world. It's incredible. It's really incredible.
What's it called again?
Beyond Utopia.
Beyond Utopia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, I'm telling you, every time, I must have cried 7 different times watching this film. Every time that I said, I'm not going to cry this time. I'm going to be a man. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to go through it. And then it's always like, dude, it's something else every single time. Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible. You see an 80-year-old woman cross, the jungle to be free. Anyways, so her and I, we started Fat Bass, and now we've come back and we're building, you know, I'm building Parker Media by myself. She's with me on Fat Bass, but then she also has Caleb Mission and stuff like that. So we're, I guess, kind of, we're the new Effinghammers now. we've only been here for 2 years, I think.
Right.
Maybe a little bit over that. And other than that, we're, you know, and luckily I found you guys, or you guys found me, and I know that we're gonna be, you
sure
know, working on stuff.
You sure that's
oh man, dude.
About that?
Yeah.
Say
that? No, you know what I love about
you?
Well,
we found you because you had impressed Corey Conaway.
Yes.
Who told us to call you, and I said, well, Corey, I knew Mickey.
Corey threw your name out like you were the guy. He goes, call Mickey Parker.
Well, that's awesome, because every time I call Corey, he never picks up the phone.
Don't worry, us too.
He doesn't. He doesn't to everybody.
Hey, Corey, Corey, if you're listening, call me.
Well, one thing, Mickey, you came home.
Yeah.
You know, Effingham County creates a phenomenal amount of people. You can go anywhere from Effingham County. We're glad you're back.
I appreciate that.
We are glad you're back, and we're glad you came on the show today.
Thank you.
And once again, I just want to tell you thank you one more time for everything you did with the Springfield Parade.
Yes,
I just know that video touched a lot of hearts, and I know that I looked at the views that it got, and it was like thousands of people who watched it. And I'm just so thankful that you did that for the city of Springfield. And thank you for coming on the show today.
Yeah, much appreciated.
You did your best to make us look good. That was a hard task.
I'm good, man.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, man.
Next, we have Miss Regina Klontz, the manager of Mars Theater.
Hey there.
Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. So let me just say, first of all, how inspired I am by the two people I'm sitting beside. Like, you know, two new community partners today alone, which is, you know, inspiring. So I'm so excited to be here, and I appreciate what you guys are doing and the connections and the sense of forward thinking that I'm experiencing just on a daily basis, including today, is so inspiring. So thank you.
Thank you. That's very nice. Well, we've got you here today to talk about the Morris Theater.
Yes.
And a concert series. Can you start off by giving us a history of the Morris Theater? All of us are familiar with the Morris Theater. I know when we were growing up, it was just a vacant, empty building. But we understand at one time it was the hub of entertainment for Effingham County. So could you go all the way back to there, up to now?
And let me just dog-ear that and say it is, again,
yes,
the hub for entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
So the theater, there's some question about when the theater actually opened. To our knowledge, it opened in 1948. Jack Ramsey's family opened the theater. They owned several properties on Laurel Street and are really responsible for a lot of the growth along Laurel Street during the 40s. So it was privately owned. Dr. Ramsey, who just passed, I believe, last year, ran the projector. So he would reel the films and would start the projector and all that. So it was a passion in their family. The theater did, they mainly had movies, but they also had, a movie star or Western star would come into town to Springfield, and people would have meet and greets with these movie stars from the 30s and the 40s at the Morris Theater.
Out here?
Yes. I don't know what the logistics look like,
yeah,
but that, in fact, did happen at the theater. It was smaller then.
Yeah.
It has been expanded since the revitalization. But in about 1952, with the advent of the television, people stepped away from going to the movie theater and began to watch more things at home. And also at about that time, you'll see that everything started to, with mobility and with wealth and with just everything post-World War II, people moved away from Main Street and wanted to travel more into the big city to buy their goods and services. So you saw this sort of slow exodus off Laurel Street in Springfield as people started to become more mobile and they could go to Savannah for goods and services. So in 1952, the theater shuttered. I guess about 17 years ago, maybe 16 years ago, Butch Kiefer and Gus Ennis were having coffee one morning, and they had always just thought about what a shame it was that the theater had shuttered and had been several things in the meantime, office buildings, florists, and had never been leveled. But there was always this desire, particularly from our greatest generation, to bring it back around. And Butch and Gussie had coffee one morning, and then all of a sudden they hatched a plan. And Gussie will tell you, there were many, many, many people involved in this. It was just not her and Butch, and she certainly does not look to take the spotlight away from the many hands that helped rebuild and regrow and revitalize the theater. But they sold lots of hot dogs, they sold lots of popcorn, they asked money from everybody they knew. Gussie will tell you she carried her jar to every event that she went to in an effort to raise funds for the theater, to educate people about the theater. And they were only able to raise, and I say only because it was a feat, they raised six figures to help revitalize the theater, but then they realized it was going to take a lot more than that to do it. So after some heavy lobby with the city of Springfield, the Springfield Revitalization Corporation ended up creating an agreement with Springfield where the city of Springfield would purchase the theater. And Brett Bennett, who was the city manager at the time, really lobbied with city council and expressed his desire to open this theater. And I say this next part because there's a trick to it. He said, we're not here to raise money. We're here to rebuild and revitalize Laurel Street. And the linchpin of that is reopening this theater. Just like county and city rec departments do not make money, they opened the theater under the auspices of this is a community project that needs to happen. It will reinvigorate and recreate or revitalize the conversation about Laurel Street. And so city council, Brett Bennett, Gussie Neese, Butch Kiefer, so many other people along the way, Wayne Kite, Gary Weitzman, those people were the people that ensured that that theater opened back up. They were also so forward-thinking that they created they did an expansion to the theater, which allowed us to have green rooms, a hospitality area, and a larger stage that would enable us to have large performances where we can have, you know, a drama on stage with singer, actor, dancers, 35 people on the stage doing those things, you know, a full band of 12 people as opposed to 5 people performing on the stage. Those things were all made possible because the city was forward-thinking enough to understand the assignment. Then they hired a guy who had worked with the Fox Theater. His name was Tommy Deadweiler, and Tommy was so in the know about audiovisual and about acoustics that he created the best backdrop and platform for music in our community, because that space, the music, the acoustics, it's a wonderful space to hear live music in.
It is.
And so it was like this whole thing was ordained to happen. And for me to be in the position now where I'm responsible for bringing people into the theater, it is something that I'm extremely, extremely passionate about, because it involves community, it involves inspiration, it involves bringing, you know, our dollar back into Effingham County, as opposed to pushing our patron and our citizen to Savannah for entertainment. They do not have to go to Savannah for entertainment when they can see it, live entertainment, great entertainment, in Springfield, Georgia.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, that they did those renovations where it's a multi-use theater versus just watching movies.
Well, you know, in America, there's this, you know, it's true. There is an opinion of that things are incredibly divisive and all, but I don't see that as much here in our county. Mm. I see people working together for the good, and that inspires me every day. And I feel more community and more bipartisan partnerships here than nationwide, and that again warms my heart every single day. So for a city council to back arts and entertainment in such a loud and vocal way is huge, because the arts and entertainment are inspirational to us all. And it allows us to dream bigger and think bigger and be inspired to do great things. And whether that means our kids stay in our community and continue to create great things and create great moments and have great conversations about how we grow, or if they move away and then come back like Greg did, that's just more of the same of just us working together to cultivate and grow in a positive way.
And not just the city, if I'm know correctly, the county also now advertises some of the stuff at the Mars.
Yes, I reached out to Jake Ziegler, the communications coordinator. He got with Tim Callanan, and you know, when Tim heard the idea, he thought it was fantastic. He thought it was a great idea to help our municipalities, because that's how our county is.
Exactly.
If you reach out, they're going to help.
Yes.
And now they're trying to help advertise events as well. So we felt really good helping with that,
bringing the two together. Thank you. My goal, so when the theater did open, it was segregated. And anyone in our community of color or who was particularly poor had to sit upstairs. They weren't allowed concessions. They weren't allowed access to the bathrooms. But that is different. We're in the process of creating a short documentary about the theater, and Miss Lucy Powell is on that documentary. Yeah. And she said,
"Oh wow,
this is not just their theater. This is our theater, and it is in fact our theater." And that's what gets me up every morning and gets me moving, is the fact that we're doing this for everybody in our community.
I can't wait to see that documentary.
That's right.
I'm glad y'all have Lucy Powell on that.
Yes, we do.
I actually told my wife, I was like, we need to do a documentary on that little thing, like a little short documentary.
So we need to talk later.
I think someone's forgetting that the Mars a couple years back was integral, because everyone had in Effingham County, we would have to go out to Savannah for the sensory friendly showings, and the Mars Theater was the first one that allowed us to have sensory inclusive showings for families with disabilities.
Yes. How wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yes, so. And this goes back to the staff at the City of Springfield. I mean, my boss, Matt Morris, is extremely supportive, and, you know, I'm able to say yes, and that is what I've been told to do, and that is what I do. So, again, it's everybody's space, and I'm just the keeper of the flame that that hopefully everyone in our community will continue to support.
Definitely.
Well, you certainly are a big gift to us all.
Right.
We just stay amazed how you have that passion, and you certainly have that purpose. You're purpose driven, and we're a better community because we have that service. I will cut up though that the chairs are the World War II chairs, and those people were little back in the day.
Well, you know what?
Because they were always working. Nobody was sitting down.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you for speaking for the big people.
But thank you. We admire you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you. This is an honor for me. It's an honor for me.
So what kind of events are held at the Mars Theater?
We're capable of doing just about anything. A few years ago, Billy Bob Thornton and his band came into town.
The Boxmasters. I remember going to that concert.
And played, and that was three tour buses in our parking lot. That was an entourage. It wasn't necessarily his entourage, but an entourage of people. We were able to host them, feed them, create opportunities. My local tech staff worked with their tech staff, which is straight out of Hollywood, to work that show. I mean, the funny thing is I had Matt Morris rolling down Billy Bob Thornton's equipment into our load-in the day of the show because it was all hands on deck. So, I mean, we do live musical acts. We do dramas. We are going to host South Effingham's Mary Poppins production this spring. We were able to host Springfield First Baptist Cantata, which the proceeds then went to the Lottie Moon Fund in December. So we're able to do just about anything, and that was because they did it right when they opened the theater. They didn't use a small mindset or a scarcity mindset when they decided to reopen the theater. They created an environment where we can say yes to just about any arm of entertainment, from anything from, performing arts clinics, community theater, to, like I said, live musical events, and then, of course, the backbone of what we do, which is movies.
Yeah.
So, really quickly, I think that I love the fact how you mentioned that it's our theater, and you were very honest about really being cognizant of the history of the Mars Theater. I think that's so important when we think about equity, because sometimes we don't recognize what the history of something like that is. So for you to be so proactive and say, yes, we're aware that there was a history where a certain class or a certain color of people were not welcome into this specific area, but they were here, that is such growth. And I think in Effingham County, we are so proud about community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's one of the reasons why I am so honored and blessed to say that I do live in Effingham, and my baby is one of the ones that South Effingham High School's drama club.
Yes.
That little one. Wow. Christian.
Nice.
So I don't know if you remember him, Tommy, when he was little.
Yeah, I do.
So that boy is 17 years old on Tuesday driving, but wow. Drama club, when we think about the impact of community arts, it doesn't matter like where they're at. That high school overall, I am a huge fan of Dr. White. Huge fan of Dr. White.
Yes.
But especially Mr. Elton at the theater, the theater teacher there. Yes. He's absolutely amazing because he will go above and beyond to make things inclusive for everybody.
That's fantastic.
Torian White.
I grew up with him.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, he's amazing.
I love him. I just saw
him the other day. He's like, he's amazing. He's always been amazing.
He's amazing. I absolutely love it. And I think if, the theater is open to it, there's a lot of money to be made in being culturally inclusive.
Yes.
And as Effingham County grows, our second highest population, besides our newly immigrated communities of the Korean families and the Korean communities, Hispanics.
Yes.
Yep.
Hispanics. And we did a community health assessment or a community needs assessment, and Hispanics are the second highest in creating GDP. So if that is something the theater is interested, we are more than happy to facilitate access to the Spanish-speaking community, because it's we're looking to really make Effingham and continue to really grow Effingham to we all know and love. Yes. I mean, I don't know what people say about Effingham, but all I know is that my county, this is what I know.
That's right.
You can go anywhere from Effingham.
That's right.
We are a loving community.
Like Effingham is home.
All of us grew up here, and certainly those men and women who came before us, they thought enough of us
they're amazing.
To help us be who we are today.
Like Effingham is amazing. It's why we have the best school district.
Mm-hmm. Yancey Ford does a fantastic job.
Absolutely. And Ashley Hunter, listen, I've been able to sit in over 200 meetings in Effingham County.
IEPs,
that's right.
Yep.
I've been able to sit in about 200 IEP meetings, individualized education plan or programs for our kids with disabilities, and I have not had a meeting where we're not focused about what's best for the family in terms of what is appropriate for the child.
That's what Dr. Ford's first comment is, from what I understand, is let's do what's best for the child.
Absolutely.
Best for the child.
Dr. Ashley Hunter, she's the director of special education for exceptional students in Effingham County. She's absolutely amazing. But Dr. Ford and Dr. Hunter's commitment to inclusion in Effingham County, I mean, we have inclusive playgrounds. I don't know if y'all know that.
Yeah.
But we have inclusive playgrounds. And I was very blessed to be able to be there at the opening statements.
Constructing a new one on 18.
And I mean, when they had the committee meetings, they took into account wheelchairs.
Mm.
So, Regina, explain to us this concert series that's coming.
Well, it's funny because this goes back, the origin story is that right before Fall Festival, which the week before Fall Festival, first of all, that is strictly ran by the city of Springfield. So we are boots on the ground. That day, Matt, Jennifer, Aaron, Lauren, and I pull about a 16-hour day. We're there when the sun is up, and we're there and long after everyone leaves. So that's not a contracted out Fall Festival or a festival. It's a festival that the city puts on. So my job is to broker the entertainment for the concert that night. So I have to make sure they have places to eat or food and a place to stay, and that they are sort of shuffled around during the day or taken care of. And I got a call about a week before to advance the show, and the voice on the phone sounded like someone that I had heard from long ago in a Lone Star interview, and I thought, surely to goodness, that's not, you know, Dean Sams from Lone Star. Surely it's his tech person. So I talked to the person on the phone, and I never, made that or asked that question, but I continued to have access to him, cell phone number in my phone, talking to him back and forth about the show. And then the day of Fall Festival, when they arrived, sure enough, this person that I had been working through all the tech with was in fact Dean Sams from Lone Star. So that was great. And that's unusual, because normally you're talking to someone once or twice removed from the actual band, but Dean is very, very involved in the day-to-day of Lone Star. So there was already a relationship that had sort of started to form. And then that day, as we were working and he got to see the theater and I told him a little bit about our history and the growth in our county, he said, you know, I'm interested in, he said, I've done singer-songwriter shows before, but I'm interested in launching a series, and I would love to start it here. You've got the perfect size space, it's intimate. I could bring in legendary songwriters from Nashville to your theater, and not only will we do more of what you're wanting to do, which is raise awareness about the theater, not only in Effingham County, but in Bryan, Bullock, and Chatham counties, but also continue to do what I want to do, which is be more and do more, to inspire more.
Right.
So all of that happened that day, and then after that, as we continued to collaborate, Dean lined up the acts. I went to Matt and then to City Council. I explained the proposition of the show, and off we were to the races. So the most important thing and the call to action for the community is that I am only able to bring in huge names like the Billy Bob Thorntons, like the Lori Morgans, like the Doug Stones, like the Dean Sams of the world, as long as people continue to support the theater. So it was a collaboration. It was Dean's vision, Dean's people, and our venue. So that's kind of how it all came together.
And we need the county to support these to keep them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's everything. It's everything from continuing to keep the theater on top of mind when you're planning to go to a movie or you are looking for entertainment options. It's following us on Facebook so that you're able to support our live event options. You know, we are not in the position at this point where we are really even able to turn a profit. This is just about a service to the community.
Right.
So in all intents and purposes, although we're municipally owned, we're not turning a profit. So events like this are not about anybody getting rich. Events like this are about enriching our community. And there is a big difference there. But people have got to be inspired to come.
Yes. All right, that leads us to the part of the show where we are going to try to connect with the founding member, Dean Sams, from the acclaimed country band Lone Star. They've been together for 4 decades. Some of their hits are Amazed, My Front Porch Looking In, Mr. Mom, I'm Already There, and more. They've sold 10.5 million albums. They've had 10 number ones, 22 top tens. They've performed all over, including Kuwait and Iraq, for our service members. And they played our fall festival right here in Springfield back in November.
Hello.
Dean Sams, this is Tommy Morgan with Effingham Talks. Thank you for joining us today.
Are you?
I'm doing well, sir. And you?
I'm doing awesome.
Good deal. Glad to have you on the show. We want to talk to you a little bit about this concert series, if you don't mind.
I'd love to.
We're going to have Mr. Andy Hudson start off with some questions.
Well, hello, Dean. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just great.
We are just so grateful that you are a part of our team here. We want to thank you for your service heart, how you're enriching, impacting our beloved Effingham people. We look forward to January the 21st, and we just stand amazed. I have a couple of questions, maybe a few questions I want to ask you. Back in the fall of last year, tell us about your experience and overall and how it got started and how it was just awesome for us, and we hope it was awesome for you.
Well, first of all, I assume you're talking about Fall Fest. So for the folks that are tuning in, just to connect the dots, I'm the founding member of the country band Lone Star, and play piano, guitar, and sing. And we came to town and did Fall Fest, and man, what an experience. It's first of all, Springfield's such a great town. Got to spend a lot of time walking around that day and meeting a lot of folks, and just the community that is there is so incredible. Everybody should be very proud of the town. And the show was amazing. I think from what I heard, it was the largest crowd y'all had for the Fall Fest, and we put it all out there. I mean, it was a great show and so much fun. But when we got there earlier in the day, Miss Regina was giving me a tour around. They ended up using the theater, Marsh Theater, as kind of our green room. So we had our meals there. We did the meet and greet inside the theater and so on. And she was walking me around, and as we got out onto the stage, I was just looking out into the theater, and I was like, wow, I just love this. This is such a beautiful, intimate theater. I love that. And I just happened to mention, I do a lot of these different writers' nights in Nashville, and that the theater would be such an amazing spot to put on one of these writers' series. And I had been thinking about doing one again. I had done this years ago. And so she asked me to explain it more. And so I was just telling her where I would be the host of the thing. I would bring three of my friends that are big time hit songwriters in Nashville. And the way it works, each songwriter, you know, we take turns singing a song. And before they sing the song, a song that they've written, they tell the story about how they wrote the song. And so for this first one that we have coming up on the 21st, I'm bringing three amazingly talented people, and they're also great friends of mine who have had a lot of success. The first one is Marty Dodson. Marty's had hits by everybody from Rascal Flatts, Lone Star, George Strait, Kenny Chesney, Billy Currington. I know who's a he's a local from that area, and
he grew up across the street from me.
There you go. Well, I've known Billy since he was 18. I used to. Before Lone Star, we got our record deal. We used to be the house band at a brand new bar in Nashville called the Wild Horse Saloon. And I would sneak Billy in there when he was 18 because he couldn't, you know, he's underage, and he'd just hang out on the side of the stage and watch the shows and, you know, watch us do our thing. And so I've known him a long time. But anyway, Marty Dodson, who's the writer we're talking about, he wrote Billy's number one song, Must Be Doing Something Right. He also wrote Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, But Nobody Wants to Go Now for Kenny Chesney and so many other big hits. He's going to be there telling his stories behind his songs and then singing them for the folks. I'm bringing in Clay Mills, another great friend of mine, super talented guy. Written big hits for Darius Rucker. He's written a huge hit, big hit for Diamond Rio. He Beautiful Mess, he wrote for them. And the one he wrote for Darius, the big number one, was Don't Think I Don't Think About It. And he's had so many other big hits for everybody from Carrie Underwood, you name it. And then the third piece to this puzzle on the 21st is a very dear friend of mine, one of the most gifted singer-songwriters I've ever had the privilege of being friends with, and I also produce her. She's going to be a big, big name before too long. Her name is Lauren Massetti. She was a finalist in on American Idol. She had a top five song on iTunes called God Made a Woman. She just uber gifted, one of the best singers you'll ever hear, and a great songwriter. And she'll be every time we do one of these series, we're going to have a rising star, and she is definitely a rising star. And so and then of course I'm going to sing a few songs that I've written over the years for either the band or for different people, and tell the stories behind those. And this is one of the coolest shows I think you'll ever see, just from the standpoint of a lot of people think that all the artists write their own songs, and some of them do, but a lot of them are written by these very talented people that you don't really know their names, but they're responsible for some of the biggest songs you've ever heard in country music, and that's who I'll be bringing to these shows.
It does stand amazed to us to hear the lyrics of a song and how an individual would just God-gifted talent to write it down and make it all come together. Singing is an amazing talent. I believe writing a song and bringing, you know, purpose to that song, and of course, passionately executing it in the end is just amazing. When this series came about, of course, I've got the answer earlier. How did the concert series come about? I think we all got it. I think between you and Miss Regina, passion is the answer. Is that, you know, you're just an amazing man to want to impact and enrich a small community like us. And we just stand amazed, using your words, how your servant heart enriches. So thank you for that.
Oh, you got it. And I want to say this too. I mean, Regina, I mean, she has so much, you use the word passion. She has so much passion for that theater. I mean, it is, she when she was walking me around, you should have seen the smile on her face. She is so proud of what y'all have going on there. And, you know, the arts in small towns has started to become a, you know, thing of the past. And instead of, you know, some of these little towns embracing them and helping them maintain or grow, you know, a lot of times they just let it go to the wayside. And, you know, the Mars Theater is really special. It's beautiful. And, you know, I've traveled all over the world performing and see a lot of places, and there's just something special about it. It's historical, and something like this is, you know, as far as rhythm and rhyme, the series of shows that I'll be bringing, the first one, January 21st, we've already talked about that. I mean, it's things like this that can really help this theater maintain and grow. And it's important for the entire community to get involved in the arts. And it's so important for our youth to be involved in the arts. It's proven that for kids that find their way to the arts in one way or another, they tend to do better in school. And a lot of them will go on and do better in life. I mean, the arts brings so much mental game to your life.
It really does. I remember playing in the band. You know, it does stir up the mind and the soul to us, not only as we play our instrument or do the arts. We just stand amazed how we have so much in our school system to offer with the arts in our community. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the challenges songwriters go through to get noticed in this industry?
Oh, wow. It's, I mean, talk about finding a needle in a haystack or winning the lottery or something like that. I mean, it's so tough because there's a lot of talent in this world. And to get the opportunity to showcase that talent in front of the right people, it's not easy. And these songwriters, I'll tell you, even the biggest ones, I mean, you know, everybody's gone through struggles and trials and tribulations and all those things. And but for the ones that really make it, I mean, what I love most about them is the perseverance that they've had to, you know, they've had to persevere over so many challenges. I mean, most people don't even think songwriting is a real career and it is a real career, but it takes a lot of dedication, it takes a lot of talent, it takes a lot of luck,
perseverance and believing in yourself.
It does. And I know there's probably in y'all's greater area, there's gotta be a lot of, it doesn't even have to be young people, I mean, just I can tell you a real quick story about someone that was a great friend of mine. He passed away. His name was John Gerard, and he was a very prolific songwriter, wrote multiple number one songs, and he didn't even get into writing songs until his mid-30s because he was a race car driver. Mm-hmm. And he ended up getting diabetes, and he lost his eyesight.
Oh, goodness.
And you can't race a car if you lose your eyesight. And he ended up becoming a very prolific songwriter, wrote, like I said, numerous number one songs, and that was very late in life. And he was one of the most brilliant, intellectual, caring people I ever knew, and he was very in touch with everybody around him. And And once again, he had a lot of success as a writer later in life. So, you know, anybody that's thinking, you know, they first for this show on the 21st, if you just want to come hear some great stories about some of the biggest hits in country music, you need to come to this show. If you just want to hear a unique take on some of the biggest songs that you already know, listen to the songwriter's version. It is really cool to hear the songwriters tell their stories of how and why they wrote the song, and then hear them put their perspective the way they sing it. And then for the people that might want to get into this business, this might be something that you can learn from, and they'll have an opportunity to meet all the writers and myself as well. And we're going to do a special VIP meet and greet afterwards that people can buy that opportunity to do that as well. And all of this is going to help the Mars Theater as well. So I hope everybody gets their tickets very soon. It's coming up on the 21st, and it's going to be a great, great night of music.
It definitely is. It definitely is. You know, you certainly have shown the American resolve. All of us need inspiration. You know, we all have that opportunity as we walk here. How about when the day came when you just loaded your wagon and you headed north? That took some courage. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, when I was
from Texas, raised, right?
Yes, sir. I was raised in Texas, and I didn't even get into music until I was a senior in high school. I always thought I was going to be a professional football player, and you won't ever hear me say I'm good at anything. But I was a great football player, and for reasons I won't bore your audience with, I didn't get to play ball my senior year, and my best friend kind of got me in. He said, well, you got to have an elective, won't you get in choir? And I was like, I ain't getting in choir with all you sissies. And he was like, man, there's girls, and there's a lot of girls, and we go on trips, and that's all I needed to hear, girls and trips.
You're a smart guy.
you were sold then.
I was sold on that, and I kind of did it as a joke, and that joke was definitely God tapping me on the shoulder and really giving me a gift, because music has become my number one passion. It was a God thing once again, because I remember when I first got into choir, my favorite song at the time, I don't know how many of your audience will know it, but there's a great, great artist that I just loved so much. His name is Ronnie Millsap.
Oh, yes.
And,
and
he had a hit song called Stranger in My House.
Yes.
And there's no rhyme or reason why I could do this other than it was a God thing. But I remember it like it happened 5 seconds ago. I sat down at the piano in the choir room, and I just started playing that song. I don't know how. I don't know why, but I could do it. And then this, you know, career just kind of went from there. I ended up going to college for a half a second and hated it. And I just moved back to Garland and started putting some terrible bands together and tried out for some different shows, and had enough people tell me I couldn't do it and enough people tell me that I could, that I finally decided to make the move to Nashville and take my shot. And it took me about 6 months of being here to figure out, after going out and hearing a bunch of great singers and things, to figure out that I'm not good enough to make it as a lead singer. But I thank God for giving me, you know, getting my ego out of the way and being able to recognize what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And I've always been a very good leader of every band I've ever been in, and so I decided I was going to put a band together, and that band that I put together was Lone Star. And we did 2.5 years, you know, I took that leap of faith, did that, took 2.5 years of traveling around in my two-door Jeep Cherokee, pulling a U-Haul, till we finally got a record deal. And from that record deal, we've had 22 top 10 singles, 10 number one songs. We've won ACM group single song, CMA group single song, International Artist of the Year. We've been nominated for 5 Grammys. We've sold over 10.5 million records. And if somebody thinks dreams don't come true, buddy, you need to come talk to me, because they do.
You know, most successful, we can see you and your band. And I always have a saying, you know, victory comes to the ones of us who believe in it the most, but believe in it the longest. You know, it's when the naysayers are telling you, I can't do it, can't do it. But in this America, and America's best years lie straight ahead. We ain't seen our best years yet. We got great young people coming. And as long as we do our part, you know, we live a purpose-driven life. We wrap it in with our potential, and then we finally wrap it up with our passion. And when we do that, those are the impactors of our world and of our community. When we wrap the three P's of life, our purpose, our potential, and our passion, and we see that in you. So you like myself, I've been in business 30 years and doing a craft for 40. I never work. I just get up in the morning and live the American dream. And I hope I'm inspire. There's got to be a Andy out there somewhere. I hope he don't talk as much as me. But
well, it's really, it's all culminated into, you know, my little journey has culminated into kind of where I am today, where, you know, I still get to go out, you know, with Lone Star, and we are touring on a high level. We'll do everything from playing, you know, festivals where there's 40,000 people, and then we'll do smaller festivals where there's 5,000 or 6,000 people, and then we'll do theaters where there's a couple thousand people, and I love all of that. But what's unique about this Rider series that I'm bringing to the Mars Theater on January 21st is this is an opportunity stripped down, intimate, just kind of like us sitting in the living room having a conversation about a song that we've written. We tell the story and getting to, you know, just interact with the audience and see everybody's eyes and watch their reaction when we're telling the stories and singing the songs. It's truly a unique experience, and I'm so excited to be bringing it to the Mars Theater on January 21st. And I hope everybody gets their tickets now, because it's I know it's going to fill up quick. So I hope when everybody hears this, they run to I think it's MarsTheater.com, and they'll click on the link for the 21st and get their tickets, because it's going to be a great night.
We stand with you just as excited about January the 21st, and we just stand amazed. I mean, that's the song in which, you know.
And we're definitely out there promoting it, Dean.
Absolutely.
We're helping Regina day and night, so trying to find different avenues, but we're looking forward to it.
Well, thank you. And I got to tell you, you know, for everybody that's listening to this, I mean, Regina is a freaking rock star, and I love how passionate she is about the theater, how passionate she is about the community, and that really drives her. And so I hope this thing is so successful, because I can tell you she has put lots of time and effort, and you know, we want to make this very successful for her, for the theater, for the community. And so I hope everybody gets out and supports Regina, Mars Theater, and of course Rhythm and Rhyme, because we got four more coming up after the 21st, and each series is going to be every time we come to town once a month, I'm bringing three new riders with me, and they're just going to keep getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. I've already got my first one signed on for February, and he's already locked in with me. His name's Frank Myers. He's co-written some big old hits, two of them for Lone Star. He co-wrote I'm Already There and Front Porch Looking In.
Oh, wow.
And he also wrote I Swear for John Michael Montgomery, number one song.
That was a huge hit.
He wrote Just You and I for Eddie Rabbit and Crystal Gayle. So anyway, he's written a bunch of big old hits, and he's already locked in for our February show. So, I mean, it's just going to keep on keeping on. So we need to get everybody out for this first one. Let's make it happen in a big way. And I really think this is going to be something special.
Absolutely. Mr. Sam, this is Franklin Norris here. yeah, like Tommy said, we're doing everything we can to help Ms. Regina and you promote this. We're big in the community and trying to build this up, not just for Mars, but for the city of Springfield. I just want to say a couple things before we close the show down. You know, one of our sponsors happens to be a company called Old Whiskey Nuts, owned by James Fountain and Ashley Fountain down in Florida. They actually took the time to build a custom pecan product for you when you come down, and it's actually going to be called Amazed. They do some pecan fusion with different products and stuff, and so they actually took the time to build a custom package pecan for you that they're going to have into Mars.
That is incredible.
It's a custom nut for a custom nut.
Oh, easy now.
Oh, Lord, that's funny.
Just kidding.
Well, I think that's incredible. That's so cool of them. And so will they be? Will that be something that people can get at the theater?
Absolutely. Exclusively, and they have it online. So one other thing that I want to say before we get out of here is, you know, one of my top five favorite songs in the world just happens to be Smoky Mountain Rain.
Yes.
From Ronnie Millsap.
Yes.
But one of my other top five is right there near it, is Walking in Memphis.
Yes.
And I love your actual, I was always listening to your music as a kid and growing up, but I love that song so much. And then listening to you sing it, it's just, I love your version. And so when you're here, and you're up there, and you feel the need to, if you sing that song, I would actually love it.
So you got a special request by
already.
Franklin Norris.
All right. Yeah. All right, that sounds good. Well, you know, I didn't write it, but you know what?
That's okay. You sing
it
really well.
My show, I can do whatever the
hell
I want to do.
That's right. You can do whatever you want. So this takes us to the end of the show. Rosie, I'll give you a chance. Do you want to say anything to Mr. Sams before we close out?
Huge fan. Huge Yay. Fan. Fangirling the entire time.
Huge fan.
She'll be at the show.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
And Mickey, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, well, as a as a fellow artist, it's always, I would say, the most interesting is to hear somebody else's journey through it. And I can't wait to see you perform. That's going to be amazing.
Well, I appreciate it. It's going to be a great night, and I look forward to coming back to Springfield. I mean, I'm with all sincerity. I had me and the rest of the guys in Lone Star had such a great time when we were there for Fall Fest, and so I'm glad I get to come back. Not just once, I mean, coming up January 21st, but we got February,
times.
March, April, and May. So all those are coming up, and we'll be announcing those after we get through the 21st. But it's going
to
be.
Oh, we need to make it Woodstock of the South.
Oh, that's right.
That would be so fun.
I love that. That's an idea.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's what we should do. Perfect. This small town. Have you ever been to Woodstock?
I've not been to Woodstock.
It's amazing. We could totally do that here.
I'm game.
Yeah.
Hey, also, Dean, let's not forget that those that do attend the show on the 21st, they will get special access to a lower price to purchase in advance the rest of the series. So the other, I mean, first of all, this is like with anything else. You know, you don't want to miss the first. You want to be there for all five. And we're going to make it so that those folks that are early adopters to this program, they'll get the benefit of a lower price ticket for the rest of the series. So that's something that will only be available to those folks that are in attendance on Tuesday the 21st at 7:00.
That's right. I'm glad you remembered to talk about that, because that's something that I think will be really special, and it's kind of just a gift for, you know, taking this journey with us as we kick off Rhythm and Rhyme, you know, at the Mars Theater for its inaugural events, and we're gonna rock this thing out. So the people that do get their tickets to come to the first one, once again, are going to get special pricing to come back for the others.
Yes.
So it's another incentive to be there. If all that great music isn't enough, there's another incentive.
Thank you again, Mr. Sams, for coming on. Thank you to all the guests today, Rosie, Mickey, Regina. Thank you, Andy, for coming on and you know, commentating for us.
Pleasure being here.
I hope that y'all would all come back on again to F&M Talks. I hope y'all had a good time. And I hope y'all enjoy the rest of your weekend. And I look forward to meeting you, Mr. Sams, and for everybody listening out there, go get your tickets out right now. Mars Theater.
MarsTheater.com. All you do is click on that picture of Dean's face as soon as you open the website, and you'll be able to get those tickets.
All right. That's the scariest part, clicking on my face.
We apologize for that in advance.
Well, we definitely look forward to meeting you on the 21st, Mr. Sams.
All right. I look forward to seeing y'all. Thank you again for your time.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Dean.
Guys. Goodbye.
You got it. Bye, y'all.